What is your name?
My name is Helen V. Kennard, K-E-N-N-A-R-D.
When did you join the Denver unit of WOSL?
April 1979.
Were you in the service?
Yes, I was in the service.
What branch?
I was in the Women's Army Auxiliary Corps and the Women's Army Corps.
What influenced you to come into the service?
The spirit of patriotism was a motivating factor that influenced my decision to volunteer. Other factors were the opportunity to see places and meet people from other parts of the United States that was not possible while living in a small town in the Midwest in Malden, Missouri.
What did you do prior to enlistment?
Prior to enlistment, I was employed in the local agency of the Chevrolet dealership. I was manager of the parts department and General Motors accountant.
What year did you come in the service?
September 1942.
What were your jobs when you were in the service?
In the first permanent station I had, I was a typist in a typing pool. My first love was automobiles, and so I continued to try to get reassigned to the motor pool, which I finally did. I stayed in the motor pool and loved it all the time until I decided that my next priority was going overseas. At that point, there were no WAC drivers being sent overseas, and I wanted it so bad that I switched back to being a typist. While I was overseas, I worked as a statistical typist until I finished my enlistment.
How long were you in the WAC?
From September 1942 until September 1945.
Where did your travels take you?
In the United States, I was stationed in Florida, Washington, D.C., Fort Washington, Maryland, which is a suburb of Washington, D.C., in Georgia, in California. The only permanent station was in Washington, D.C., Fort Washington, Maryland, the Adjutant General School. The others were training centers. When I went overseas, I went directly to Hollandia, New Guinea, and from there to Leyte and Luzon in the Philippines. I was in Manila at the time Japan surrendered. I came home and was discharged at that point.
What kind of housing did you have when you were in the service?
Housing varied from the training center in Florida, where we were in hotels, and then into a permanent base, permanent barracks in Fort Washington, Maryland, as that was an old Army post. From there, overseas, it was primarily tent arrangements. And then in Manila, we were billeted in a boys' school.
When you were living in tents, how many women were there to a tent?
Oh, I'd say varying from 4 to 6.
What were the uniforms that you wore when you were in the service?
The uniforms that we wore when we were in the service, this was early on, as you recall, because the WAAC was formed in May of 1942, and I went in September. It was all khaki from the skin up, and created a lot of conversation, a lot of queries. And sometimes when people said, "Could I see your underwear?" they weren't really interested in your skin or what was there. They wanted to see these khaki underwear that they had heard so much about. It was loads of fun. Again, then as things progressed and we got the dress uniform of worsted wool, we felt pretty smart, because that was a sharp-looking outfit.
Can you relate a couple of your more exciting experiences when you were in the service?
Well, all experiences are exciting as you go through them. My most exciting one was because we were treated more like VIPs than any place I had ever been. And in going from New Guinea, being transferred to Leyte, when the general headquarters were changed, the plane that I was on developed an oil leak. We had a plane load, but there were only 10 WACs. The others were GIs and and male officers. So we had to go down because the oil leakage was so great. And the men they had seen, both officers and enlisted men, but the fellows on this island of Palaloon, which was a little man-made island in the Pacific, had never seen any women in uniform. And so we stood out on an incomplete airlift until they had a council meeting of the officers of the island as to what to do with us, because they just had no experience. So we stood out there for about an hour, and after their powwow, they took us to the nurses' quarters, which had been made, but no nurses had arrived, and so we were literally under guard, because when they took us over there, they said, "We'll come for you wherever we want you to go, and don't go out by yourself." So we were there for a little over 24 hours, because we had to wait until one of the other planes came back from Leyte to pick us up. And so we ate in the officer's mess and were served. A long time since we'd been served. And then we got up and left our dishes. So that actually is the most unusual and the biggest, I guess thrill, because anytime you feel important, it makes you a thrilling experience. All of the experiences were good. I enjoyed the whole bit.
What was the biggest adjustment you had to make when you went in the service?
I think the biggest adjustment that I had to make, and many of the people that went in at that time, because we had mostly been people that had worked quite a while with responsible jobs, and the fact that you did not make any decision, you did what you were told, and you thought, "Oh my, am I so stupid that I have to be told everything?" But you learn to swim with the tide, and then it's not so bad to have somebody else tell you what to do. But I would say the regulations.
Did you expect your experience in the service to prepare you for a career, and if you did it?
No, I did not expect my service in my career to be changed or maybe benefited, but not changed, because I had worked for a long time, and I was in a position to know that I could make my own living, make my own career.
After you left the service, what did you do?
After I left the service, I went down to Greenville, Mississippi, and worked as a General Motors accountant. But after being down there for 2.5 years, I decided that Mississippi was hotter than the South Pacific, and so I should go someplace where it's a little bit cooler. I left there not knowing where I was going. My only aim was someplace cooler than Mississippi. I finally landed in Denver, Colorado, the latter part of October 1948. And that was the nicest thing that ever happened to me. I had been planning on pursuing my education ever since I graduated from high school, but economics didn't permit it. So I enrolled in the University of Denver, getting a degree in business with a major in accounting in June of 1952. After that, I continued the accounting business, but on a broader scale than the General Motors system that I had been used to working with. From then until the time I decided to retire, I worked in private accounting, public accounting, and self-employed for the last 10 years of my working career.
What does being a member of WSL mean to you?
Being a member of WSL means to me the same thing that any other experience has meant. It's the broadening of your friendships. It's the learning of other rules of the club, the organization, and the benefit that are to be gained by membership with it. Whether you are gaining the benefits or whether you are giving the benefits to someone else.
Thank you very much.